That will be in 1 Kings chapter number 18. I ain't never done nothing like this before, but we're going to try to read a few verses and then we're going to backtrack. That's just the best way I could figure out how to do it. But we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter number 18. We're going to cover pretty much the whole chapter, and we're going to cover chapter 17 as well. Not going to do all that reading. I can't read, so we're not going to cover all that. But we are going to talk about it and just talk about Elijah tonight. Calling down heaven. Calling down heaven. Man, Elijah was a man who could call down heaven if anybody could. Elijah could do it. But tonight in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 30. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 30. If you found your place, I ask that you'd stand as we honor the reading of God's word tonight. 1 Kings 18 and verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Verse 33, and he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it the third time. In verse 35, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Verse 36, and it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the woods and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their face. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Lord, I come to you tonight, Father God, and I just want to ask that you just move me out of the way tonight, God. I pray that you'd move on this message tonight, Father God, that you've given me, Father. I pray that you would just help us open our eyes to what Elijah's done here, Father God. And I ask that you'd help me be more like Elijah in my life, Father God. Just be what you've called me to be, and be as courageous and confident as he is tonight, Father. But Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, you'd be with all these prayer requests that was asked tonight, Father God. I pray that you'd reach your hand down on each and every one of them. Father, the ones who was too scared to mention something, Father God, might have thought it may be too small, too little for a church to know about, for you to know about, God, but it's weighing down on their hearts, Father God. I pray that you reach down on that individual's life, Father God, and you touch that desire of their hearts, Father God, the prayers, the scaredness in their heart, Father God. I pray that you reach down and you touch it tonight, Father. God, I love you, and I thank you, Father God, that you hear my voice. Lord, I thank you tonight that you hear me when I cry out to you, Father God, because you are my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You're my Healer. You're my Father tonight, God. God, I pray that you just get me out of the way tonight. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we see here in 1 Kings that Elijah was a man of many things. He was a man that he had all kind of powers. He had all kind of all this that he could do. But tonight I want to look at how Elijah could call down heaven. Anything Elijah done most of the time, when Elijah called on God, God answered. And I want to be known tonight as a man, when I call on God, that God will answer. I want to be the man that when people's got sickness going on in their lives, they'll say, go get Jake. I know if he prays, I know if he calls on God, God's going to answer, and God's going to move in our lives. And I pray tonight that that's where you're at, that you want to be so in touch with God that when you call on him, he'll answer. You can call heaven down tonight. But tonight I just want to look at Elijah's life and how we can call down heaven like Elijah. Elijah, number one, he was confident in what he done. He was confident in his walk with Christ. And you say, well, what was he confident in? He wasn't confident in Elijah. He wasn't confident in the fact that he was a prophet. He wasn't confident in the places he had been, the things he had done, the things he had seen. He was confident in the same God who protected him. He was confident in the same God, Jehovah. He was confident in the same God who had saved his soul. And if you look back in chapter number 17, it's in verse number 1, we see there's some pretty big words in here. The Old Testament stumbles me up big time. So we're just going to struggle through this here. 1 Kings 17 in verse number 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of the Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the Lord, word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook of the Cherith, that is before the Jordan." Just a little backside here. Ahab was a king. Ahab was a man in charge. Ahab was this man, and he took a wife named Jezebel on back in 1 Kings earlier here in the text. Ahab took a wife named Jezebel, and Jezebel, she wanted to turn everybody to praise a god named Baal, little g god named Baal. And Baal was a god who was over rain and who was over producing plentiful crops, and pretty much he provided the water that was needed in the area. And in verse 17 here, Elijah comes up to the king and he says, "There's going to be a drought. There's going to be a drought that's going to come over you, over your country for 3 years. And anyway, you read on down, and it don't read it in the text, but in my study I've seen that Jezebel has put into place killing of people who was not praising Baal. Jezebel was trying to kill the prophets of God, our God, Jesus Christ, Jehovah. She was trying to kill those prophets. So in verse number 3 here, we see that God told Elijah, he said, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan." I want you to know tonight that Elijah, he was confident in the same God who protected him. He protected him by sending him to that brook. But in verse number 4, he also protected him, but he provided for him as well. In verse number 4, it says, "And it shall be that thou shalt have drink at the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." I want you to know he gave him protection, but he also provided for him. He said he sent ravens to feed him. And I wrote this down. I was looking at it up there before church started, and boy, God hit me. He said, if I'm leading you somewhere, if I'm sending you somewhere, I'm already provided. I've already provided. Whatever God's trying to get you to do tonight, whatever God's leading you to do, he's already provided the way. He's already providing for you there. he said, go to that brook. He said, you're going to be safe. You're going to have water. You're going to have all these things. And I, by the way, I've even told the birds to bring you food while you're there. Boy, if that ain't a God, it just touched me tonight as I was reading that. He said, I've already commanded them to give you some food. But he had confidence in the God who protected him. He had confidence in the God who provided for him. But he had confidence in a God who gave him peace. I want you to know tonight, if Elijah, and he knew that drought was coming, and boy, the drought come over that land, and God placed him by the brook. God placed him by water, and he said, you'll never run dry when you're walking with me. If you just walk in my will, you'll never run dry. But he also gave him power. If you read on down there, God told him to leave the brook and go stay in the house with this widow woman. And Elijah went, and he stayed with the widow woman. He was confident in that. He was doing this. And then the widow woman's son fell sick, and he was about to die. And Elijah had power over that man and called on the name of Jesus Christ, called on God to come down and heal him, and that man was healed. But that leads us into chapter number 18 here, and we see that Elijah, he was confident. He stood before a king and told him what God had told him to tell him. He was confident in God. But not only was he confident, he was courageous. Tonight, if you want to call heaven down, if you want God to move on your prayers, if you want to see God's hand move in your life, you're not only going to have to be confident in what he's called you to do and what he's asked you to do, but you're going to have to be a little bit courageous. I want you to know tonight here in verse number 1 of 18, it says, "And it come to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." I want you to know this drought was blamed. It was blamed on Ahab. Or Ahab blamed the drought on Elijah. There's a lot of names going around, and I get confused, and I'm trying not to mess myself up. The drought was blamed on Elijah. But in verse number 1, he says, go show yourself to Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel are already having all the prophets, which is what Elijah is, a prophet for God. They're already having them killed, and Elijah knows that. But he was courageous. He went to Elijah, and you read on down there, and I'm not going to read it, just a little foresight. Ahab was walking down through there, and he had a servant, and he had a helper, a friend, whatever you want to call him, whose name was Obadiah. Obadiah walked with Ahab, and he worked with Jezebel, and he done all these things. But Obadiah was a man who was taking prophets of the Lord and hiding them so Jezebel and Ahab couldn't kill him. That's what Obadiah was doing. And we get here in verse number 6, and it says, so they divided the land, talking about Ahab and Obadiah. So they divided the land. They was looking for grass, and they was looking for water and things to feed the animals, and that way their country could survive. That's what they was doing. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. In verse 7, and Obadiah was in the way beyond. Behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, art thou my Lord, Elijah? And he answered him, I am, go tell thy Lord. Behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant in the hand of Ahab to slay me? So just going back here, he was courageous. He was confident, but he was courageous. He took charge of what he was doing. He took charge of the circumstance he was in. I wanted you to know tonight, me as a Christian, I feel like a lot of Christians, we try not to take charge. We try to be just a background noise in the things going on in the world. Man, we get in our workplaces and situations rise up, and we go out and to eat, and situations rise up, and we know that it's not right. We know that the things going on, they're not right, but instead we just kind of sit back because our soul's safe, because my family's saved, my place is safe. But Elijah, he took charge in this circumstance. He took charge of what needed to go on. He didn't compromise. Obadiah, when he met Elijah here, he come down, and Elijah said, why don't you go get Ahab? Why don't you go tell Ahab I'm here? And Obadiah knew. He said, man, I've been hiding all the prophets. I've been saving all these people. Do you not know that? And Elijah says, yeah, I know that. I know this is exactly what you've been doing. But now I want you to go get Ahab and tell him I'm here to meet him. And Ahab said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go tell him, and you're going to be gone, and then I'm going to get killed. And Elijah says, I give you my word that when you get back with Ahab, I'll be here. I will be here. In verse 17 there, and it says, and it came to pass, let's read verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I want you to know tonight, he did not compromise. He could have went and done things completely different, but he stood before Ahab here, and in verse 18, he said, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And now therefore send and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel, and to the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long how ye be between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. Amen. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet unto of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So I see that Elijah, he was confident, but he was courageous because he took charge. He didn't compromise. He stood before 450 men all by himself. And I get in a group of people, two or three people, and man, I'm the only Christian there, and I cower down, I back down, I stand down. And Elijah, man, he stood up before them. And what he done here is he told them, he said, what we're going to do is we're going to take two offerings, two bullocks, and we're going to offer them up. You're going to take one, I'm going to take one. And what we'll do is we'll lay them out, we'll get everything ready, but we're not going to put any fire under them. We're not going to put any fire under the sacrifice for them, but what we'll do is you call on your God, and if he sends fire down, let him be my God. Let him be God. But if he don't send fire down, then I'll call on my God, and if he sends fire down, then we'll know that he is God. So in verses 23 there, all the way down to verse 26, they're getting their altar ready, and they're putting their bullocks there, and they're getting their sacrifice ready, and they start calling out to Baal, and they start calling out and doing the things that they need to do to get Baal to move. And not to mention, it's, they're in a three-year drought of a God who provides rain. They're in a three-year drought of a God who's supposed to provide plenteous for them, provide the water and provide all these things, and they're in a drought. But yet they're still calling out to him. They're still moving on him. And Elijah, being as courageous as he was, he stood there, and not only before 450 men, but in verse 27 it says he mocked them. Verse 27 it says, and it come to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. He is either talking, or he is pursuing, and he is in a journey or peradventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner, and their knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. I want you to see tonight, I've spent a lot of time talking about them and what they done, but Elijah, he was confident. He was courageous. It said he stood there and mocked them. Not because he was just making fun of them, not because he was just doing that, but he wanted them to see how foolish they were for not following God, for putting something else before God. He was confident. He was courageous. But he's also cautious. See, tonight, a lot of times, man, in my life, and I feel like a lot of Christians, man, we get tired. You can just look at prayer request lists that's sent out from churches, our church, other churches throughout. It's slap full of people, full of sickness, schools, things that's going on, but hardly ever will you see somebody that's needing to be saved, a soul that's lost on there. We won't pray for those people. We won't call those people out. But here, that's what Elijah was doing. Elijah had so much power from God. He had so much power for God to move. And we already seen in verse 17 that he healed the sickness of the widow woman's son. And but God moved, and he called down heaven because he was looking for a soul to be saved. He was looking for a soul to be saved. And tonight I want you to know, don't stop praying. Be confident in your prayers. Be courageous in your prayers. Sometimes God... All the time, God's going to answer. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes you're still waiting. But I guarantee you tonight that if you're praying for a soul, God's going to move on that soul. You say, well, I've prayed for people for years and seen them die, and they never professed Jesus in their life. I guarantee you, if you prayed for them, God moved on that heart before they died. Not everybody will accept Jesus, and that's just how it is, but that don't mean God didn't move on that heart. That don't mean God didn't knock on that heart's door. Tonight, though, Elijah, he was confident, he was courageous, but he was also cautious. Here in verse number 30, it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar that the Lord was broken down. So what's happened here is they've done had their chance. They've done prepared their offering, and they've had their time of however long it was. They've had their time to call on Baal, and Baal didn't show up. Baal failed. In verse number 30 here, it's now Elijah's turn, and Elijah, he's fixing up his altar. In verse 31, and Elijah took the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes, the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, is Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. I want you to see tonight he was cautious. He prepared for God to move. I remember when I was young watching Facing the Giants, and man, you'd think of all the things as a kid watching Facing the Giants, there would be a lot more things in that movie I would remember. But I've always remembered one thing, and it was that the coach, I don't remember his name, but man, him and his wife was trying to have a baby, and he had all these things coming against him. And a preacher walked in. He'd come through, and he prayed over the school every day, and that preacher walked in, and he told him, he said, man, I'm struggling. Man, I'm praying. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and God's still not moving. And that preacher just bowed his head there, and he said, son, I heard a story one time about 2 farmers. He said both farmers were in bad need of some rain. Both farmers bowed their heads, and they prayed. Only one of them prepared. He said only one of them prepared for the rain. He said, now which one do you think got the rain? I want you to know tonight, Elijah, he was cautious in what he done. We see here in verses 30 through 33, he's preparing that altar. He's preparing for God to move. He's preparing for things to go on here. But I see he prepared for God to move, but he prepared proof that it was only God. Here in verse 33, it says, and he put the wood on the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid them on the wood. He said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. I can't start a fire for nothing. The only way I found out how is to take some lint out of the dryer and light that thing up. That's about the only, if that don't work, I can't get it going. I can pour gas, diesel fuel, it don't matter. It don't matter. I can't do it. But Elijah here, he told him, he said, I'm going to prove to you it's God. He said, we're going to take 4 buckets of water and we're going to dump it all over this sacrifice. So they done it. And then in verse 34, he said, do it a second time. And they're thinking, boy, he's crazy. And they're probably getting a little bit mad too because they're in a drought and he's using all their water. So they done it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And it says in verse 35, and the water ran about the altar and he filled the trench with, and it filled the trench also with water. I want you to know this thing was soaking wet. Soaking wet. It could not have burnt in any way. Could not have burnt. He was cautious. He prepared for God to move. He prepared proof that it was only God, but he prepared abundantly. I want you to know tonight that you can pray all you want to. Pray all you want to, but if you're not preparing for God to move, he probably ain't going to move. He probably ain't going to move. I heard a man say one time that God promised to feed the birds, and he promised to take care of them, and he'd take care of you, but them birds have got to work for their food, so why shouldn't you have to work for your food? Boy, that stuck with me, and I seen a thing on Facebook as a preacher, Brother Tyler Galden, I think's his name, but he posted this, and he said, we cannot expect a prayer that doesn't move our hearts to move the hand of God. And boy, that hit me. Man, how many times I bowed my head and prayed, expecting God to move, but it didn't even move me. Somebody's come to me and asked me to pray for them, and boy, I really expect God, whatever comes out of my mouth, for God to move on that, but it don't move me. I want you to know tonight, whatever you're praying for, make sure you're preparing for. We see tonight that Elijah, he was confident, he was courageous, he was cautious in his preparation. But Elijah also cried out to God. I want you to know tonight you can be confident, you can be cautious, you can be courageous. Boy, you can walk the strictest line there is in Christianity. You can walk this book to the T. But if you're not crying out to God, you won't ever move heaven. You can walk this book to a T. Have no sin whatsoever. Be in church Sunday in, Sunday out. Give more than you're supposed to, tithe more than you're supposed to. Be on praise teams, be on every helping team there is, but If you're not crying out to God, you're not moving heaven, not one little bit. Boy, I got to thinking about that this week. And boy, just calling down heaven. Calling down heaven, how sometimes I wish I could just reach up to heaven and say, Lord, what are you doing? Will you not help us down here? This man's hurting, this man's dying, this man's doing this, and he's doing that, and I got brothers that's going wayward, and just reach down and grab them up and shake them and do something. The only thing I can do is be confident. He's going to show up. He's the same God who showed up in times past. The only thing I can do is be courageous in my walk and stand up for Him when He's called me to, and stand up for the things He's done in my life. I can be cautious and, boy, just prepare every way I can. If I'm praying for God to do one thing, I'm going to start preparing like He's fixing to give me that thing. And I'm going to keep on crying. I'm going to keep on crying out to God. I don't know what tonight. I have no idea how to end this. No idea. I have nothing wrote down, and I don't know. But I don't know tonight what's holding you back from getting your prayers answered. I don't know tonight what's holding you, what's hindering you tonight. I don't know. So, preacher, I've been praying for years, and God still ain't moved. You just keep on praying. There's a lot of people in this place that's got loved ones that's got cancer, and friends that's got cancer. Just keep on praying. But I want you to know tonight, if you want to move heaven, you find you a lost soul this week. You find a lost soul this week and you start praying for them. Pray for them tonight. Pray for them Thursday. Pray for them Friday. Pray for them Saturday. And pray for them Sunday. And who knows, they might wind up in this altar Sunday morning. I want you to know tonight, we must be confident in what we ask God to do. We must be courageous in what we ask God to do. We must be cautious. But tonight we got to keep on crying. Keep on crying out for them lost souls. Tonight, I ask you, if somebody come to you and said, I need you to pray for me, could you call down heaven? Could your prayers even move the hand of God? Lord, I love you tonight. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that there was a time in my life somebody was praying for me as a lost man. Lord, I know that sometime in my life there was somebody praying for me when I was a saved man, not doing things I need to be doing. Lord, tonight I pray that if there's somebody in this place that's not where they need to be, Lord, they're going every which way but towards you. Father God, it may be a lost man, it may be a saved man just running from you. God, I pray that they come to this altar tonight, Father God, and they get right with you. Lord, I don't know what something's different in here. I don't know what it is, Father. Lord, I pray that you take this mess I've made, Father God, and you just apply it to somebody's heart in here, Father. God, I'm not good with the Old Testament, but that's what you give me. I can't read. I struggle with it. I stumble around with it, Father God. Lord, you've asked me to be confident. You've asked me to be courageous. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, you just move. Lord, I ask tonight, Father God, you just be with all the prayer requests that was asked. God, I pray that you be with the ones that's got cancer. I thank you for the praise reports we got, Brother Chris, Father God. God, I pray that you continue to bless him and his family. God, I pray that you just move on us this week, Father God, as we've got things going on in the church. Father God, I pray that you just keep everybody safe as they travel. Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor and as him and his family travels back. Father God, I pray that you keep them safe. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.